I'm so glad you're all here this morning. I am so grateful to be back and able to share God's word with you this morning. I want to pause before I share what I believe God's put on my heart for you this morning. I want to pause again. I know a few weeks ago I mentioned this, but I have received a number of things since then. And I just want to say thank you to all of you who sent cards and notes of encouragement along my healing journey and my recovery. You will never, ever know how much that means to me. It did then, and it does now. In fact, I was reflecting upon that. Every day, Jody would go out to the mailbox, and she would bring in the cards and stuff. And I would proceed to have an hour's cry fest. Someone once told me, maybe you've heard this before, that tears are healing. Amen. And I wondered along the way if my recovery was in part due to some of the things that you were sharing with me. I want to also thank I know Josh isn't here this morning, but I want to thank Scott and Lisette and Josh and the rest of the leadership team for filling in and covering some of the things in my absence. We are so blessed here at Pioneer to have the people in leadership that we do. And last but not least, I want to thank my wife and my kids and my grandkids who doted over me and cared for me for a day or two when I got home. And then it's time to get back at it. You're taking nourishment, it's time to go. All right. No, you're such a wonderful blessing to me. Thank you so much. You probably don't remember, but the last time that I had the opportunity to share with you, it was right around the time of the church calendar of Pentecost Sunday. Anybody remember? No, you don't. You're lying right now. You don't remember. I barely remembered, and I was the one who talked about it. So right around that time period, I shared with you a couple different weeks. The first week, I talked to you about the practices and power of Pentecost. And then the following week, I shared with you a message entitled Increasing in Power. Remember? Anybody remember that? Okay. So I don't want to in any way try to review any of that stuff this morning. But if you remember, what I was doing at that point was taking a look back at what made the early church so influential, what made their message so compelling that thousands of people in a very short period of time embraced Jesus and the message of the gospel with their lives. And so we know that the obvious, theologically, we know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in that moment changed them personally. But I want to also point to the fact that when the Holy Spirit was poured out there in Acts chapter 1, 2, right in that area right there, it also changed the atmosphere. And I want to take you back. I'm not going to go back and look at the same things that we did 2.5 months ago. But in the spirit of that, in the sense of what was going on in that moment, I want to share a message with you today I'm entitling Thanks a Million. Thanks a Million. You may have heard someone use that phrase before. It's a phrase meant to express extreme thankfulness to someone for something that they've done. I was reminded as I was thinking about that My grandmother, my mom's mom, her name was Ida, name you don't hear much anymore. And her maiden name was Fuller. And I guess I knew this growing up, but she came from an Irish heritage, an Irish background. And I found out in just a few minutes research that this phrase, thanks a million, was made famous or was used predominantly by Irish people. And I was reminded that my grandmother, Ida, used to say that. I'd hear her say that to people, never really knowing exactly what it meant, but she'd say, thanks a million. And that stuck out to me. And in light of what I want to share with you, I felt it an appropriate title. In the initial hours after my surgery, as you have plenty of time to think about a lot of stuff, I sensed that the Lord was putting three verses on my heart. These verses have lingered with me, and I expect they will continue to linger with me from that moment. I can't tell you how much understanding and insight I have received in the last 8 weeks about these verses. When I was in the hospital, I couldn't wait to get home to do a deeper dive into these verses. I didn't have any of my, I had my phone, which is helpful, but if you know me and phones, it's not that much help. I couldn't wait to get home to take a more in-depth look at what these verses tell us. But I want you to know, I didn't wait until I got home to start practicing them. These verses I'm referencing here are not obscure ones. They're not like I was laying there in the bed and somehow some spiritual dust fell upon my brain and all of a sudden three verses that I'd maybe never seen in the Bible before all of a sudden captured my attention. In fact, these verses I'm going to share with you this morning, I'm sure many of you have heard many times. But today, I want to take them one at a time so that you don't miss anything. I don't want you to miss this. This is super important. Are you ready? Okay, so I want to go to the first one. Thanks a million. Very good. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, and it's simply two words. One verse, two words. Always rejoice. I wonder if you would say that with me on the count of three. It should be pretty simple for you. Just two words, one verse. One, two, three. Always rejoice. There, you just memorized a verse of the Bible. Always rejoice. Always rejoice. Got it? All right, let's go on to the second verse. It's the next one in line here. It's verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, that says, four words, one verse, pray at all times. I'm going to invite you to do the same thing again with me this morning on the count of three. One, two, three.
Pray at all times.
Very good. You just memorized another verse of the Bible. Always rejoice. And pray at all times. Got it? Always rejoice and pray at all times. Now, this third verse is a little thicker. It's a little more meat on it here. And so I've broken it up into actually two halves. It's verse 18. It's right here. So I've got 18a, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18a. give thanks no matter what happens. Six words, half a verse, all right? On three. One, two, three.
Give thanks no matter what happens.
Give thanks no matter what happens. Always rejoice, pray at all times, and give thanks no matter what happens. Hello? Second half of that verse is B. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 B. This is the way God wants you who belong to Jesus Christ to live. On three. One, two, three. For those of you who are in here, if you belong to Jesus Christ, raise your hand. Very good. What this verse is telling us is that if you consider yourself a believer, you are to always rejoice, pray at all times, and give thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because that's how God wants you to live. I made this even simpler so you would really get it, all right? I did some word study and word search, and I I'm always one to try to simplify things, right? So I made this even simpler for you so you can never forget it. You ready? Here it is. Always rejoice. Always pray and always give thanks, for this is the way God wants Christians to live.
Amen.
On three. One, two, three.
Always rejoice, always pray, and always give thanks, for this is the way God wants Christians to live.
You just memorized three verses. Give yourself a hand. Very good. So these are the verses, as I'm laying there in the ICU, God decides to drop in my heart. Do you know there's a lot of verses in the Bible, right? He could drop a whole bunch of other things in your heart, but these are the three. Always rejoice, always pray, and always give thanks, because that's how God wants me to live. So, I've got these things brewing in my heart. I'm finding this fresh. It became daily bread for me. It was, these verses became and still continue to be the thing I'm feasting on. It's meeting a need in me personally, but I also sensed, and I believe this is God, I also sensed, going back now to some things I shared with you 2.5 months ago, I really believe that these verses hold a key for us in order to continue to experience and maintain revival. Always rejoice, always pray, and always give thanks. By revival, I mean God drawing near to people in a way that is out of the ordinary. You could, revival could be defined in a whole host of different ways. But when I'm talking to you about it, I'm talking about God's presence drawing near to us in a way that's beyond the ordinary. I believe that we are experiencing such times right now. While I was in the hospital, I had this overwhelming desire to be thankful to God. Now, somebody could say, "Well, that's because you just uh, you just you know, you made it through something that could have turned out a whole lot differently. And while I believe that to be true, I believe that this passage, these verses, were arresting me in a way that I had never felt before. I knew these verses. I was fully aware of them. But somehow they were gripping my soul at a level that I had never known before. So I found myself being overwhelmingly thankful to God while laying in the ICU. I can't explain that. Not only was I thankful to God, I had this overwhelming desire to thank the people who were serving me in that moment. I was thankful to the nurses who were coming and constantly pricking me with needles. Amen. Thank you so much. Here's my finger. Here's my arm. Thank you so much. Thank you for doing what you do. I found myself thanking the people who were delivering my meals. Have you ever eaten hospital food? There ain't nothing to be thankful for there in the natural. Especially if they're giving you a low salt diet. You don't put salt on eggs. They taste horrible. I'm going to tell you that right now, straight up. They're bad. But as the lady is bringing me my tray, I'm like, thank you so much for bringing me some food. As the people came in to clean my room, the sweepers, the cleaners, they're in there, they're moving things around, they're noisy, I'm trying to sleep, they're bang, 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 like this. I'm like, thank you so much for cleaning the area that I call home right now. Thank you so much. As the doctors came in and the PAs came in, I had this overwhelming sense to say thank you to them for what they have done to try to help me. The one doctor that I had that did my surgery, he was from India, obviously, and at one point he came, what's that? Well, he looked Indian, so that was, that's what I meant. He looked Indian. That was obvious. So he came in to check on me at one point, and I said, he was telling me different things and blah, 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 and I was trying to listen and pay attention. And as he was winding up his interview with me, I said, Doctor, thank you so much for sharing your gift of helping me at a time when I really needed what you had to offer. I said that. I probably was crying a little bit like I am right now. And I said, thank you so much. And it was like I didn't even say anything. It was just he went on with whatever else he wanted to say to me and so forth and so on. And he went to leave. I said, Doctor, I really truly mean this. I don't know how many people tell you thank you, but I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for doing what you did to help me. And he turned to me and he said, you know, people don't thank me very much, but I can tell you mean it. If I could have hugged him, I would have hugged him right there, right then. Because there was this overwhelming sense of thankfulness in my heart for the people, watch this, that God had surrounded me with in my moment of need. We hear a lot of complaining about the medical field and appointments 10 weeks out and whatever. I don't want to go there this morning. Thank you. But can you think about this for a minute? If those people aren't there, we're in trouble. I recently read that a Texas businessman wrote a book entitled A Million Thanks. It was part of, those who are working in the back there, could you go to that opening screen? I know it's not in order, but go to that opening. See, in the background of this, it just says the word thanks over and over and over and over again. You see that? This Texas businessman who wrote this book, he wrote on the pages of his book, thanks, a million times. He wrote the book as a way of saying, trying to say thank you to the people in his life that had made him his life so fulfilling and successful. A book with simply one word in it, a million times, thanks. When I got home from the hospital, as I mentioned, I was able to do a little deeper dive into those verses, but I felt like there was this connection between that passage in 1 Thessalonians and where we were in Acts chapter 2. I said, Lord, there must be something between what you're trying to say to me over here and what was on my heart from where we were back in May. I just really felt that. And I went back and I began to read again in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through verses 47, which is where we were at the end of May. In the first part of that passage, there are some things that are mentioned that the spirit, early spirit-filled believers were doing, things that they were practicing, kind of the mechanics, if you will, of what was taking place. But if you go to the latter part of those verses, you will begin to read about the atmosphere that was taking place in that moment. I want to read that to you again this morning. I don't know what slide. There should be a longer version of that. Is there a whole, should be one before that, I think. No? Yahoo? Okay. Okay. Awesome. Let me just read it to you. It'll get to this in just a second. Oh, maybe it's there. Is it there? It is. Oh, that's it. My bad. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. What I want you to see in this section is it gives us a description of the atmosphere in the early church. I want you to notice the part of the verse that says, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. When I read this, I immediately think of a modern phrase that we've used in our culture here, life is good. LG, life is good, right? That's what I think of. I think of the atmosphere in the early church in that moment as it pertained to them being with one another was awesome. Last Sunday when we were enjoying the baptism up at the Sheepers, And we were witnessing. Every time somebody went into the water and came up out, it sounded like somebody scored a touchdown at the Bills game. Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! And I turned to several people and I said, it doesn't get any better than this. When you take the time to investigate this a little bit, and some of the words that are used here, you get even a clearer picture of what's going on. For example, the Greek word glad here, where it says with glad and sincere hearts, the word glad there is a Greek word used to communicate extreme joy or full to overflowing joy. So it's like joy on steroids. That's what this word glad means, right? With glad hearts. That's what the atmosphere was like. Everybody was psyched. They were juiced. This is awesome. Now, I find it interesting that Luke, who is the author of the book of Acts, only used this word on three occasions in all of his writings. Never used it. It's used very, very little in the New Testament. I don't know if it was because, well, whatever. That's not. So he only used it three times. On one occasion, you may remember this, on one occasion where he used this word, you have to go back to when the announcement came to Mary of her going to give birth to Jesus Christ. Are you there? You may remember how that scene unfolded. Mary says, okay, I don't understand all this, but whatever, let it be to me as you have said, speaking to the angel. Then the very next moment, we see her traveling to her cousin Elizabeth's home to tell her what's happened. When she gets to Elizabeth's house, it says that Mary began to tell Elizabeth what took place. And then we read these words. This is crazy. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby inside of me leapt for joy. Same Greek word that Luke uses to describe the atmosphere in the early church. An excitement and an exuberance that a fetus inside a woman's womb couldn't contain is joy. Are you there? Another word I want to point out to you in this passage that gives us a window into the atmosphere of the first revival. The word sincere. Now, when we use the word sincere in our setting, and frankly, some of the times the Bible uses the word sincere, it means an absence of pretense, deceit, hypocrisy. Another way you could look at it is you could say something is for real, right? It's sincere. But here, the word that is used that is translated sincere is very interesting. It literally means the opposite of stubbing your toe. So I'm thinking to myself, self, what in the world could that possibly be talking about? And with glad and sincere hearts, not stubbing their toe hearts. What in the world? Why would Luke use that word? Now, what it is he takes a Greek word that means to stumble or stub one's toe, and puts a couple letters on it to mean the opposite of that. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like, for example, we say cover something, right? Then we uncover. We put a couple little letters with that same word, and it means the exact opposite. To cover or uncover, right? He does the same thing here. He takes a word that means to stub one's toe or to stumble stubbing one's toe over something, and he puts an un on it and say the opposite of stubbing your toe. Right? It's still making no sense. What is that talking about? It only makes sense if you understand what the Bible means by stubbing or stumbling in the Bible. It only makes sense. I want to give you two verses. This will help you. I'm going to give you two verses from two different translations to help explain my point. Matthew 18, verse 7. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to the person through whom stumbling blocks come. Now, that's from the New American Standard. They've chosen to translate the Greek word that I'm talking to you about today, the idea of stumbling or stubbing one's toe, they've chosen to translate it in that way. I want to show you the same verse, different translation. Go for it. Woe to the world because of offenses. For offenses must come, but woe to the man whom the offenses come. Okay. You got it? The stubbing of one's toe or the stumbling over of something is in reference to being offended. You got it? Now let's go back. Paul says they found themselves, everyone had a glad and a sincere heart. What's that telling us? Nobody was offended. Can you imagine such a culture? In our offended culture, everybody's offended about everything. This early church, this first revival, are you there?
Yeah.
Was offense-free. Can you imagine it? Everybody is butthurt about something. Right? Sorry for me to say that. You all know what I mean, right? I mean, that was the G version, right? We're all good. We're all good. We're all good. I told one of the couples that came in early this morning, that old saying we say, "How you doing?" "I'm doing fine." If I complained, nobody would listen, help and whatnot. And I said, "You're going to love the sermon this morning." Anyways. Luke is conveying to us an atmosphere where these early spirit-filled believers were living free of offense. Nobody's toe was hurting. Hello? It was smooth. It was easy. People were not tripping over and falling over one another. There was peace among them. One final word, and then I'm going to draw this all together. One final word. It says, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The word favor is very, very important. In English, we use this word to describe someone doing something for someone else that is out of the ordinary, as in doing someone a favor. Or we use it to describe our support of someone or something, like, being in favor of French fries over broccoli, right? I personally favor French fries over broccoli. But the meaning of the word here is much different than that. The Greek word here for favor in this verse is the word charis. You may remember back, I got to say, I don't have my notes. Jody and I are old enough, we were on the tail end of the charismatic movement. For those of you who know that particular revival, it started actually back in the 60s in the part of Pennsylvania where we lived. It never reached us till about the mid-70s. It took a while to get to us. You know what I'm saying? But it was called the charismatic movement. And I got to say this morning. I was thinking about saying it. I said, no, I won't put it in my notes, but I got to say it. I was reflecting back about what it was like during that time period. And I got to tell you, if you reflect back on some of the songs that we sing, that we sang during that period of time, we sang this one at nauseam, okay? You learned it this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Some of you must have been there. Were you? You remember? You know why we were singing that song? Because we were full of joy. Remember this song? This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Rejoice. There's that word again. Glad. There's the word glad. Right? You know what I'm saying? If you reflect back upon those songs that were being sung during that time period, it was reflecting the atmosphere of the revival. It was about rejoicing. It was about being thankful. It was about being grateful to God for what He was doing. Sadly, okay. I don't want to get ahead of myself. This word favor, let me go back to this word. This word favor in this verse means, it literally means graciousness. Here's what I found. The manner or act resulting from divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in life that results in gratitude and thanksgiving. Now, let's go back and look at that verse again. The people, the early church, it says that they had glad and sincere hearts. What did we learn? We learned that means they had joy just bubbling out of them, right? Extreme joy, excitement about what God was doing. They were also living offense-free from one another. Hello? And then it says that they were enjoying this sense of favor or bountiful thankfulness and gratitude towards God and one another. Sounds a lot like those three verses. Always rejoice, always pray, and always give thanks. For this is how God wants you as a Christian to live. That sounds so foreign in the world we find ourselves living in. Can I just tell you? People, when I was expressing thankfulness to people in a hospital, they didn't know what to do with that. You're in a hospital, and you are thanking me? What? I was so gripped by this, I got home, and I said, Jody, I need you to get a whole bunch of thank you cards. I mean, buy a bulk of them. Buy a whole bunch of them, because I'm writing out a thank you card to every person I met in the hospital. And you know what I did? I didn't just say, you know, it says whatever it says on the card, and then you say, thanks, Jeff. I sat down and wrote a note to the cleaner, to the food person, to the doctor, to the nurses. And you know what I did? I went and hand-delivered them. When I went back from my two-week checkup, I went to the people at Mercy Hospital. I said, listen, I have an appointment in such a place, but I'm asking that you would give me permission to go to the places where I can find these people in the hospital. I have something for them. I have a card for them. I want to deliver them personally. When I went to them and I handed it to them, they're looking at you like you got a third eye. Like, are you a weirdo or what? I'm a weirdo. Luke is telling us that the atmosphere among the earliest believers after the Holy Spirit was poured out was one of being deeply thankful. He is telling us that because of the influence of the Holy Spirit in their lives, they were overflowing with thanksgiving to God and to one another. Their hearts of thanksgiving gave way to great joy and everyone getting along with everyone else. This is in great part what made their message about Jesus so compelling. You didn't hear that. This atmosphere that God had generated and that they had welcomed was what caused their message to be so compelling. It created an atmosphere that was something other than, and I might add, out of this world. Then it says, and the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. You can't skip over what was going on. You can't skip over the atmosphere that was generated as this Holy Spirit was being poured out. This is what revival should look like. This is how revival is sustained. Always rejoice, always pray, and always give thanks. I think, we can all agree that the church at large is in desperate need of revival. If you don't think so, just go to whatever that group is there that does statistics on the church. The church at large is in trouble. We need revival. I think that we can all agree that our country needs revival. Amen. I think we can all agree that our world needs revival. Amen. The word revival can be very abstract and subject in nature. This morning, I'd like to suggest this something to you that is more concrete and objective. What we need is a rally and resurgence of thankfulness that comes from God's influence in our lives and leads to great joy and peace. That's what we need. If you want to attract the presence of God in your life, if you want to attract the presence of God in your family's life, if you want to see your community experience the presence of God, be thankful. Pray with thanksgiving. Thank God. Thank people. Thankful people are joyous people. There is no joy without thankfulness. Let me say that again. There is no joy without thankfulness.
That's right.
If you aren't thankful, you won't be joyful. Now, some of you may be saying, well, it's easy for you to say things are going real well for you right now. Listen, I just want to remind you, last summer I had 3 surgeries. This summer, another major surgery. I don't know how you define great, but that's not how I define it. Last year, it was on this arena. This year, it's on this arena. I only got 1 arena left. All I know, Somebody may leave here today and say, well, you can't give thanks in all circumstances. No, somebody will leave here and say, you can't do that. All I can tell you is what we saw this morning, which was give thanks in all circumstances. Always give thanks. Next week, I would like to share another message with you that will be, I'm calling it the thankful, I don't know exact, experiment. How is it that we could align ourselves in such a way that we could be better at being thankful? Anybody? I don't know about you, but it's easy to find stuff to complain about. I'm done. Would you stand? What did he say? For those of you who missed it, somebody said thank you to my saying I'm done. Thank you. Lord, I think many times we make this thing way more difficult than it really is. And I'm praying, Lord, that as you continue to draw near to us in a way that's out of the ordinary, that we will be persuaded that our best response to what you're doing is to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we would be so immersed in giving you thanks that you would find it in your heart, God, to unleash joy and unleash, just we would, all of us would begin to let go of all the stuff, Lord, that we try to fuss with and hang on to. And we just let all that go and enjoy you and the people you've surrounded us with. Lord, we are thankful. We want to always rejoice. We want to always pray. And we want to always give thanks, because this is how you've meant for us to live. This is our mission. This is what we're called to do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for drawing near to us. I pray as we go from this place that we would spend more time thanking you this week. It's not Thanksgiving. It's in a few months from now. But that we would be so captured by who you are and what it is you're up to in these days, Lord, that like that early church, Lord, we would have glad and sincere hearts enjoying the favor. Lord, help us to be in that lane. Help us not to get out of that lane, Lord. No matter where we're at, no matter what's going on, we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.